Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Andrea, founder of a boutique handbag brand, Andy, and this is why I switched to Shopify. I tried 3 other platforms prior to Shopify, and I remember my breaking point was when I would try to make one little change and my entire site would go down. With the drag and drop theme editor, we don't need to hire a developer to do any coding. Each theme is automatically optimized on mobile. It's incredible.
Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Go to shopify.com/listen to take your business to the next level today.
This is Cork Today on C103.
Email Patricia now with your story or comment. Corktoday at c103.ie.
On this day in 1968, Aer Lingus Flight 712 departed from Cork Airport heading to London Heathrow. Sadly, the flight didn't make it and crashed near Tusker Rock off the Wexford coast, leaving 61 people dead. 55 years later, mystery still surrounds what happened to that Viscount plane. Jerome McCormack from Cove joins me on this anniversary to remember his brother Neil, who was the very last to board the plane that day. Good morning to you, Jerome.
Good morning, Patricia. How are you?
I'm very well, and you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you for that nice introduction there.
Well, and I'm very conscious of the day that's in it, and, you know, even looking at the clock, thinking all, you know, 61 passengers and the crew would have been at the airport this day,
exactly
at this time,
yeah.
55 years ago. I suppose, talk to me firstly about Neil and why he was at the airport and why he was on that flight.
He was 35. He had been working in Glenmorth, in County Cork, you know, Glenworth.
I do.
He worked for Quinlan's there in the mills. He was the mill manager for a couple of years, you know, and he was going off to Switzerland to a job interview. So he was travelling through London, you know.
So a lot of excitement for him heading off on this almost a big adventure.
You know, he was employed at an earlier stage before Quinlan's in North Cork. He was an international textile consultant with Werner's of New York, and he was well versed in all that business.
And as a family, when and how did you hear about the crash?
Well, we were sitting down having our lunch, Patricia, on the Sunday. I think it was around 1 o'clock, I think, and it could have been David Timlin or one of the well-known radio news presenters came on, gave the usual news. My mother was sitting there at the table. I was there myself. I was 20 years of age. And the next thing, there was a late news section came on and said that the flight 712 from Cork to London was delayed. And then that was okay. And we heard then shortly, very shortly afterwards, there was another late piece of news which said that the last message from it, which was spinning rapidly, yes. 15,000 feet or 10,000, they weren't absolutely sure, you know.
And then you just had to wait for confirmation?
We had to phone the airport, and I said, was Neil McCormack on the flight? And she said, yes, you know. So there were 61 very sad people who had to go through that crash, but 61 lots of relatives, friends, you know, had to endure a horrific time.
And out of the 61, Jerome, only 14 bodies were recovered.
That is correct. That's correct, yeah. And one of those bodies was unidentified, you see. I won't go into the details,
okay,
but it couldn't be identified at the time. And I had a feeling, well, who could it be, you see? And I got a lot of cooperation from the county council, the guards, engineering people. Everyone came in on this one, and we had that body exhumed. And it was brought to England to have a DNA profile carried out on it, you know. But the DNA wasn't sufficiently advanced enough at that time, and that was around the year 2000, and it wasn't until 16 years later that it began to become clear that it could now be processed for a DNA profile, you know, and then that would be the first step in identifying that body.
Do I take it that Neil wasn't one of the bodies found?
Well, no, strangely enough, the laboratory and the investigators asked me to be the first to give my profile, you see. So if I gave my profile, and then it would be matched with the other one, with the one from the remains. And if it matched, then it would have been Neil, you see. But it wasn't him. And they asked me, was I disappointed? Well, I said, I'm not disappointed, because, you know, basically, when one family is taken out of the reckoning, well, that it means the chances are greater for the others to become, you know, involved. And all of the Irish relatives who could possibly have been like a fully grown male was the body. And it could have been any of 32 different families. And they were all.
And that must even make it harder, Jerome, that you don't have a grave.
Patricia, the people are dead and gone. And, like, you know, we can't be grieving forever and ever and ever. You know what I mean? And we want to move on, I suppose. But at the same time, we want to move on from truth, you know.
That's okay, really just to fill listeners in, to date, what explanation has been given for the crash?
Well, there was in 1970, you had the official report done by Mr. O'Sullivan. He was the chief guy in charge of the AAIU at the time, Air Accident Investigation Unit in Dublin. And I think he did a very thorough search. And in due to aggravation, then in the year 2000, there was a report done by Mary O'Rourke was involved in that, and the British ambassador, and they did a review, which was a civil service type review, which had no outside influence whatsoever. Then 2 years later, there was three guys came in who were, two of them were French and one of them was Australian, and they came in and did a study. Now, the first one was a report, which was pretty factual because it was right on the spot and was there at the moment of almost the day of the crash. They were there involved. The review was done. It was kind of a civil service review done, you know, years and years and years later, sort of paperwork stuff. And then you had the study, which was a huge, expensive study done by the Irish government to see if they could find out what went wrong. And they came up with some unusual scenarios. One of them including that a goose had flown up from Wexford and found the plane at 17,000 feet and killed everybody on board.
What we know is a bird strike.
It come bird strike. Yeah. No evidence of that whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know, no bone or blood or.
And then this ongoing story of a sighting of a second plane.
Yes, there is, because there's a living evidence of that, you know, from people who
there have, was it was eyewitness. There was eyewitnesses.
Yes, yeah, and they're still there. Yeah,
but that's been denied.
It hasn't been denied.
Has it not?
It's not been denied, but it has been brushed aside, in a sense, you know. But it's still there. It hasn't gone away.
Yeah,
you know.
And what do you believe happened?
Well, I think that everyone knows what, you know, down to a very narrow viewpoint. Everyone can kind of have a good guess now, without going into realms of theory or anything like that. They can have a good educated guess, you know. But you see, you can't pin it down to the final, you know, the final total answer, because it's secretive, you know, and then it's. There's military secrecy there, and you can't get inside that.
Yeah, yeah. Difficult, and the plane, you know, itself, there had been, I didn't realise this until I was doing some research on it yesterday, there had been two other plane crashes.
There was.
The
one of them was in near the airport in Dublin, and it was a three-man, they were just doing a training flight.
Yeah,
you know,
for young pilots.
And the, Yeah, two young pilots, and you know, they were young, inexperienced. They were only being taken out by an experienced pilot, and the conclusion that they came to, no, they won't have conclusive proof on it, but the conclusion that they more or less came to was that that pilot had a health problem, you know, and that it could have interfered with the you know, the monitoring of the plane or the training flight. It could have interfered with the with the running of the plane, you know.
And they but the those Viscount planes, they were withdrawn then, weren't they?
They were not. No, they were never withdrawn. That's the funny thing about
it. Were they not? Okay.
They were not withdrawn because the Viscount was there was 444 of them built, and they were reckoned by lots of pilots. You know, pilots have opinions about planes, and they were very, very pleased with the Viscount, and it was a very popular plane. It was an English built plane, but it was in lots and lots and lots of airlines all over the world. You know, and it had been that. Plane had been with KLM for 8 years, and Aer Lingus bought it from them, amongst several others. And the first thing they did was to have that plane totally checked out at in Scotland. Airwork in Scotland did a huge checkup on the plane before they bought it.
You know, technically, it was okay. And are you in contact with other relatives of people who lost?
Well,
loved
I would
ones?
Be. I would, of course. Yeah, I would be. But it's a sad contact, I suppose.
I know, in many ways,
because, like, it's secrecy, and you know, there things can come out. You know, the truth is there. You see, the truth can't be altered. Whatever the truth was, like, I'll accept the truth, you know what I mean, whatever. But it can't be altered. You can't come up with things like geese and things like that and without evidence and say that's what happened, you know.
And in order to get, and I know you're saying, you know, you all have to move on. And I mean, obviously, 55 years later, you have all tried to live your lives and moved on.
We remember them.
But they absolutely will never be forgotten. But to finally get closure, what you need is the truth. Yeah. I mean, that's what you're saying.
Well, yeah, I suppose, yes. And then we can, you know, move on then, you know, properly, like, you know. But they were not withdrawn. And Mr. Dargan, he was the head man in Aer Lingus. The following morning, on Monday, the 25th of March, 1968, he stated, and it's on record and it's printed, that there was nothing wrong with the Viscount planes, which there wasn't really, because I had flown on the very same plane 3 weeks beforehand from London to Cork. It was my first flight ever. And I flew on that flight from London Heathrow to Cork. And I was so amazed with my first flight kind of thing that I spent a good 10 minutes looking at every single bit of the plane, walking around it. Like, I mean, you couldn't do it now, I'd say.
Yeah,
but
no
that
chance.
Time,
yeah,
there was less security, you know.
Yeah.
And I walked around, I looked around, and I came around then to the cockpit part. And I looked up at it and I saw St. Phelim, and it was written in the old style Irish, P-H-F-E-I-D-L-I-M.
Yeah.
It was written on the side of it. I'm sure I didn't know anything about St. Phelim or anything at that stage, you know, but it was my first flight. It was totally uneventful, and it was a lovely flight from Heathrow. And
that's,
it is only
and
about
that's
half
what,
full, you
what,
know?
What should have happened again on this day 55 years ago. Do you still think it's not too late to hold some kind of an oral hearing, a full inquiry?
Well, I absolutely 100% agree that it's the biggest loss of life in this country. It's the biggest loss of life. Whitty was an awful disaster, but it was 51 people. This is 61.
Yeah.
And I did see in my research a letter written by, I won't mention any names now, but someone very high up in government, and a very short letter to say that a public inquiry, of course, is inevitable. You know?
But it never happened.
Inevitable. Never happened. You know?
Okay.
Whatever happened, this never happened anyway.
Yeah. Well, listen, we remember all of the 61 people, and in particular your brother.
Yeah, you're very kind.
And
very,
I thank you. Kind. I really do. I appreciate you taking time out to talk to us today.
Well, I appreciate it so much, you know. And next Sunday now, on the 26th of March, there's a small remembrance at Shandon Church in Cork. We just ring the bells for 61 names. That's all we'll do, you
that's
know?
Nice. That's lovely. Nice. Listen, you look after yourself, Jeremy, and thanks for talking to us. Good morning to you.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye. Cheers. Jeremy McCormack there from Cove, remembering his brother, Neil, and the other 60 people who died on this day 55 years ago. May they all rest in peace.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.